Oh, yeah. Happy fucking happy hour. It's Rich Scheidner. It's Rich Scheidner, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my God. My boy comedy crush. My entire life. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
How are you? Can anybody hear each other? Because I can barely hear.
I can hear.
You're okay.
I'm all right.
Right. Fantastic. Listen, you wrote me because of your new book. But, you know, I was just on your list like everybody.
Yeah.
Kicking Through the Ashes. Rich Scheidner. My life is a stand-up in the 1980s comedy boom. And I wrote you back right away. And what did I say, Rich?
Let's go.
I said, I love you, Rich.
Yeah, I know.
I've always loved you.
I know. And how did this not happen?
I don't know. You were my boy. You and, I got to say, Rick Overton.
Well, of course.
You know, Craig Shoemaker.
Yeah.
Boy comedy crushes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm honored.
You're
I'm
still
in a good
cute
group.
As shit, Rick Scheidner. I mean, started reading. It is a fascinating fucking story. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen you in so long, but you just, you are and were so funny and so, well, hot. Can I say hot again?
Yeah, you can.
All right.
You can.
You know what? I just heard you on Mark Maron's podcast, who just did our podcast, because it's a little incestuous, like circle jerk, right?
Yeah.
We all just do each other's podcasts now.
Exactly.
Right. But anyway, I heard the whole podcast and it was fantastic. Because I didn't know a lot of details. First of all, I was like, fuck, he's been sober for 30 years? God damn it. I'm going to have to bring him back to the dark side.
Bring him back. I can still play the dark side. I just can't drink and do chemicals on the dark side.
I understand. What? No, but I didn't realize you had this. You have this whole fascinating story that you, I heard you talking to Mark about. Just came from a family of big drinkers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. My family, a cousin did the genealogy.
Right.
Went back. The Scheidner family was kicked out of Germany in the early part of the 18th century for being broke, no money, debtor's prison. Dumped them in America.
That's South the worst Jersey. Thing in Germany.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. At that time.
Because they drank all
There was worse later, but at that time.
Right.
This was as bad as you can get in Germany.
Right.
So they dumped them in America. Get these broke.
What happened later? I'm sorry. No, I knew that. I'm sorry. It's fine.
They dumped them in the greatest economic opportunity in world history, maybe, right? America?
Right.
My family never left South Jersey and never made any money, never owned any property. Now, that's a lot of generations of drunks.
So, because I never really worked, as you know, I never really worked the comedy circuit with you guys. I was always, at a radio show. So
you were too good for us.
No, I just worshipped you from afar. I just was like, no, you guys would like come on my, morning shows or whatever. But, and I was like, God damn it. I wish he had turned me into a lesbian and not Carol Leifer.
I can still do it for you.
No, I totally get it. How like every kind of chick loves you. Cause that was the thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what I like to advertise it as.
Listen, I fucked some boy comics in the 80s.
Well, really?
Couple. I dated a couple.
Yeah, who did you date?
You wouldn't know them.
Yeah.
I don't remember. It was in the whole, I started radio, not started, but my big job was in Chicago. Remember that was when the boom was happening?
Yeah.
Funny Firm and, Zanies was always there. Remember, but Zanies Catch there, and
but,
Improv.
But Funny Firm started bringing in the headliners and then Improv opened, Catch opened, and pretty soon they had 16 clubs and 3 blocks.
Right. No, exactly. Right. Yeah. No, exactly. So that's what I remember that whole period. But shit, you just have a fascinating story. So you were the fucking dude in the 80s. That's what this book is.
When I started in 77 in Washington, D.C., so when the whole thing started in 1980, I'd been doing it for 3 years. I was ready to go. I was ready to get out on that road. So when the road opened, I was one of those guys that came tumbling out of the box.
Right.
Ready to go.
Right. Well, what looking back, what do you think that was about? Because I remember that's when I was in Chicago. It was like 87, 88, whatever. And I'm going, holy fucking shit. Like, there's a comedy club opening on every other block and they're all full all the time.
Well, part of there's demographics, the whole baby boom generation thing. By the time, 1980 came and Reagan's New Morning and Dawn in America, whatever you called it.
Whatever the fuck he said.
Right? It's like everybody was done with being in rock concerts. They're starting their careers.
Right.
And it's like, you wanted something to go out, nice date night, not get too crazy, get up to work the next day and go. Comedy clubs was that perfect thing for that.
Right.
So it's demographically, it was just time to what's a new sort of entertainment that won't cause us to blow our brains out on an acid trip watching the dead for 3 days so we can actually get to work the next day and do something. the yuppie thing. It went from like hippies to yuppie, and then it was like time for something else.
Right.
And the comedy was perfect.
Right. But so now you've been sober 30 years.
31.
Because 31. Okay.
Let's not shave a year. I need that.
Well, listen,
I need that
there's
year.
An after party. Let's see how far you.
See how far you.
I'm bad.
Yeah.
But you were, I guess, doing like everything. You were doing like everything. The 80s thing. Yeah.
Yeah, everything. I mean, I went on stage and influenced pretty much everything. Some accidental, some purpose. I mean, I once opened up for Peter Tosh.
Yeah.
And Rich Hall. You remember Rich Hall?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Rich Hall. Sniglets.
Yeah. He had opened up for Tosh the weekend before. This is like, whatever it was, 1981.
Yeah.
And he opened up for them in Philly. And I was talking to him on the phone. He said, listen, whatever you do, don't go near backstage. I got a contact tie. I can barely do my act. And my attitude was like, well, you know, Rich doesn't smoke as much as I do or everything else I'm doing. I built up immunities. I got a resistance.
Right.
I was backstage. They spotted me immediately as the opening act. I'm a nervous white guy jumping around, pacing.
Right.
And one of the guys goes, hey, funny man, come over here. And he handed me a burning baseball bat. I had never seen a joint this big in my life. I didn't know how to hold it, like a flute, like a saxophone. I didn't know how to. I took two, and it was Jamaican, which I never smoked any kind of Jamaican. I was just smoking a cheap.
Right.
I got so high. Next thing I knew, they introduced me like I was underwater. And my buddy said, I came out, I laughed for 15 minutes, and I left. The only thing that saved me is the audience was as high as I was, and they laughed at what they thought I was laughing at.
What percentage of the comics were either drunk and or high on something in the 80s?
Yeah, I can't do a percentage thing. I mean, you had a lot of guys who were straight, you know, like Jerry Seinfeld or guys who weren't, you know, they weren't abusing. There were a lot of guys who weren't abusing. But there was a good percentage. Look, if you, the job is 1 hour a night, right? You got 23 hours
and
then to
you
kill.
Got a lot of free time.
So if you have a propensity to drink or do drugs, this is the job for you. They should have advertised that way in school. Listen, kids, if you think you might be a drug addict or an alcoholic in training, this is the job for you.
Right. Yeah, you had tweeted something about that if you just like attention, comedy seems easier. That, right?
It seems easy.
Yeah. Right. Than planning a murder or.
Yeah, like planning a murder. If everybody, you know, look, you watch somebody, you don't watch Eric Clapton and think, I could just go up there and do that. Right. But you watch somebody telling jokes, you go, I've told jokes.
Right.
I've told a joke to somebody in class. I've done made somebody laugh or something. Right. I'll just go up there and do that.
But you were good at it right away. Yeah, I mean, you went to law school.
Yeah.
From Jersey, went to law school.
Yeah. It wasn't a great law school. It was the International School of Law and Screen Door Repair. But it became George Mason University.
That's handy.
Yeah, it became George Mason University. So, yeah, but I didn't take the bar. I don't have any kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so.
I think all I have is like, my courses might as well be like medieval law now. I don't know what.
So what led you to stop drinking? What happened exactly?
I couldn't get out of the house. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't do anything without drinking.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop drinking. I couldn't stop doing drugs.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was Carol, my first wife, and I were living in West Hollywood.
Carol Leifer, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said, I'm going to go down to Barney's Beanery and have a beer. And the next thing I know, I woke up driving towards Bakersfield. I'm in the Grapevine with two guys in the car who I didn't know.
Shit.
And apparently, Los Angeles was out of cocaine, and we were going to Bakersfield to get some more.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, that seems logical when you're at Barney's Beanery.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I had some problems.
Yeah. I understand. No, you know, it's funny. We've had a bunch of comics, right, Sean, that are sober.
A lot. Yeah. A lot.
And I'm like, because like I said, I never really worked the road. And so they were saying, like, most of us went so fucking hard, you know, when we were doing the road that we just had to. Who is it we had that were going? It was because it just was led to one. It was drinking led to, now I got to have some blow. Well, now I got to have, what do you got? And now I got.
Yeah, yeah. To me, it was like I do a little cocaine to get up, a little alcohol to take me down. If I was real good, I could spend $400 and be straight.
Right.
That was. Look, like the club owners encouraged it because cocaine makes you talk, makes you jumpy, makes you like it
makes you do a longer set so they can sell more fucking drinks.
Exactly. So Kevin Rooney says they give you all the free coke you want, but if you ask for a sandwich, they go, "Hey, wait a minute, I'll give you half off on a sandwich."
Yeah, but that was interesting to me because I like to drink wine, but it hasn't even been a gateway to like harder liquor. Like I don't even drink hard liquor, so I'm sort of going. I've never gone, oh, this Chardonnay is good. Now I think I need some heroin. That's what I really need. I need.
I was never big wine. To me, was just bong water, just something to put in a bong. I was never a big wine.
That's a chick thing, I think. Yeah, right. But so, and I heard you talking about that you hung out with Sam Kinison, so that couldn't have helped.
No, well, you know. When I got sober, Sam would call me his double agent from God. But I definitely, look, Sam, you know, I loved him. He was wild. He was wild. We were telling stories the other night, Mark Brazil and myself and a couple of guys were telling stories. And Sam, he was so wild. He was so out of it, you know, just out of the box wild.
Yeah.
And
I started out of college. I answered the phone at Yuck Yucks in Buffalo, where I'm I'm from.
Oh, until that's I got the right. Courage. That's right. I forgot that.
And Hurdle. Until I got the courage up to actually do stand up because I was like, you know, thought I was going to be Carol Burnett's little theater degree from USC. I wasn't really, but I remember he would, that's when he started. And I remember it was always like a guessing game to see if Sam would show up and one
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
And then I did. I was Sister Sleaze on the Brother Weeze Morning Circus, you know.
I love Brother Weeze, and he always talks about you.
I love him, too. But I think it was Weeze's show that, you know, Sam did show up, but late, and everybody was like, Jesus Christ, he smells like pussy. Like, he's been up all night. Like, he came in with some girl, just, like, looking all...
he'd wear that heavy overcoat trench coat and he'd open it up and it's like, you know, people would come out of it. It was like a clown
right.
car.
Right.
Like women
right.
would fall out of it.
Right.
I didn't know he had women underneath the coat.
Right.
We did one time was just a local thing. It was just UCLA.
Right.
It was UCLA and it was just a couple hundred bucks. So Sam and I are driving over with the young guy who booked the club. We're driving right. over from the Comedy Store.
Right.
Sam goes, you got to close. And this is when Sam was starting to get good. I knew
yeah.
he was getting good. I said,
yeah.
Sam, I am not following you, man. He said, no, they'll hate me. Kids hate me. They hate me. I'm going to bomb. Trust me. You close. I said, no, I ain't falling for you. He said, I'll tell you what. If you can't follow me, I'll give you my money and you have your money and I'll buy the drugs too. I'll buy the drugs afterwards.
That was the closer.
Right? Yeah. I said, really, you got it. I'll take that deal.
Right.
And he bombed.
Yeah.
He bombed. The college is just staring at him. You know, he's doing his whole thing. This is the face. Oh, look at that.
The face. Oh. Oh.
And then, you know, later that night, of course, we're drinking and doing blow. And Sam would like to drink a do blow and go through the Bible looking for loopholes. That was our
right.
basic.
That was his thing.
Yeah, we like that. Yeah. And then, so he goes, yeah, man, the college, they hate me. And like, this was like,
right.
probably like, you know, maybe spring of 85. And
right.
that summer, he broke big.
Yeah.
He broke big with Roddy yeah. Dangerfield thing.
Yeah.
He comes up to me a couple months later and he goes, hey, Rich, I'm going back to UCLA for 15 grand.
How about that? Yeah.
To a standing ovation, walked out to a standing ovation. I'll bet money some of the kids in that audience were that night.
Were there when he bombed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because he was doing like a straight act, right? And then he got pissed off and that's how that whole thing started, right? The whole.
Yeah. Well, Mitzi was using like the chaser act, you know, in vaudeville. They say, you know, there was right. an act, the last act was so bad. They would chase people out of the theater so they could bring in a new crowd. They called him the chaser. Well, Mitzi at the Comedy Store.
I Sam could do
was,
that.
Yeah. He would go on late at night. There'd be like 5-6 tourists there, and Sam would run them out. He
right.
was almost like a chaser act for the Comedy Store.
Right, right. Yeah, you know what's so funny? Because as a woman, and I guess like a feminist, you would think like, oh, fuck, I hate his material. But he was so, as you know, like really generous and kind in a way. Like he was always so nice to me.
Yeah.
And I was just a little stupid fucking DJ. It was like little Sister Sleaze. I was 20-something. It was my first radio job. And so, you know, the radio DJs always opened the show. So Weeze and I came out and, you know, welcomed everybody and then, you know, brought him up. I swear to God, Rich, he did fucking like 20 minutes on how he fucked me backstage. And you would think I would be, it was fucking hilarious, but you know what I mean? It was hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
You think I could be offended, but it was like, you could tell, like, it was such a cool thing because I was like, oh my God, like, I'm getting even more famous than I am in this town. Like, Sam Kinison's making me. And you know, like, they knew it was a joke, but it just went on and on. He's like, and then Sister Sleaze is like, more, back up, no! I just thought, you know what I mean? Like, in a weird way, what a generous, kind thing to do.
Yeah.
He just made it all about me.
Yeah.
And it was, anyway, but.
Yeah. He was a generous guy. He would, you know, he, look, he went, before he made it, he was just a little grieved guy. I think that's why.
Right.
When he was talking about the pain, you could see this is a guy that he got his heart stomped on a couple times.
Right.
You know, and, so you could go, okay, you see.
That she hopes someone, she hopes she slides under a gas truck and tastes her own blood. Some of that stuff is just hard to forget. Right?
No.
I know. Because it's all of our sort of like primal scream, right?
Yep.
Yeah. What was, I know, I heard you and Mark talking about it. It's just, I know some of the stuff was, there's this point where you go so over the top that he was talking about getting fucked when you're dead, right?
Yeah. Although right. necrophilia, but years later, you know, when Sam at the end, he was trying to get sober.
Right.
He was trying to.
Right.
And we were talking once. He says, I painted myself into a corner with that necrophiliac bit. How do I top that? I said, Sam, you'll find something.
I mean
in my
dead.
Mind, I'm going, though.
You're just laying there and you're dead and you're like, oh, what's happening?
Oh, it never ends. It never ends. Yeah, that is
That and, is. I mean, moved to where the food is. Come on.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
You see this? What's this?
He moved sad. The needle a couple times.
You he know what moved. It's going to be? Sad! It's going to be sad! Move to where the food is. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, good God. Mm-hmm. We've lost so many people, right?
Yeah.
We just lost Kevin Meaney.
Yeah, he was a great one, too.
Yeah, I loved him.
Yeah, everybody did. Everybody did.
What do we have any idea what happened? We don't know.
I don't know. I'm sure it'll be some sort of autopsy or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a lot of them. Gary Shandling this year, a lot of great comics.
Yeah, yeah.
Robin Williams last year. I mean, it's, but that's,
yeah,
right?
What now, let's talk about your history of making women fall in love with you. No, I heard you talking to Mark about that because I know Carol. Carol's done this show, and we
sure.
So because you were like, well, it was like 15 years later. I didn't really turn okay.
Yeah.
But were you ever sensitive about that? Because I think that
about what
about you know about turning Carol Lee for gay.
Well, it was a very delayed reaction because it was 15
right,
years.
It
took a couple
saying.
Weeks going like, hey, wait a minute. I don't think that was really a factor.
She dated Seinfeld too.
If I had
right?
that much power, I'd just start a religious cult. If I had that much power over people, I'd have made some real money.
No, but I'm getting it because
yeah,
I ended up realizing
yeah.
I was gay, but I was like, I would have fucked Rich Shiner in the 80s. Everybody would have. I'd do it now.
Just for the sport of it.
Exactly. Because you're still cute. What? So, no, but, you know, it's so funny because that used to be, whose comeback was that? Which comedian? The guy would yell out, like, what are you, lesbian? She's like, what are you, the alternative? I'm like,
that's good. That's good. That's good.
I can't remember who it is, but
that's a good
but
line.
Anyway, no, she dated Seinfeld too, though, right?
Yeah, and before I met her, she dated Seinfeld, Reiser, I think Bill Maher. There weren't that many
right
women comics,
right?
And there were a lot of male comics,
right?
And who's on that vampire schedule that we had?
Yeah,
you know, it's either a waitress or a comic.
Yeah.
So I think that she dated them.
Yeah,
yes, absolutely.
Well, I can see you guys together, both cute, really funny. How long were you married?
We were married. Fall of 81, I think divorce was finalized like January or finally the end of 85, January 86, something like that.
Did you have any inkling or did she at that point about sexuality or wasn't about that?
No, I don't think it was about, there was nothing about that then, not at all.
Yeah.
Never.
No, I mean, I dated guys. In fact, I said a little couple.
Well, you
I had
said
go,
a couple.
I had to go around in the 90s.
As late as the 90s, huh?
But, you know, it's like, that's the thing about sexuality and about labels and whatever. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes it is a process. And I'm just sort of fascinated.
Yeah, I don't.
In that part of your life because I felt like I was in love with guys that I was with when I was younger. I just think like, you know, as I got older, it's so funny. My 93-year-old Republican Trump voting mom. I remember when I told her, she's like, oh, Steffi, you're so pretty though, aren't you? Don't you like men? And I was like, yes, I do. I said, I am attracted to men. I just said, I tend to fall in love with women. Like, I think there's a, continuum or something.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I don't
and
think
there's I know Carol met her first woman at 40, right? Who she met and married and is still with.
Right, That very happy couple. So I don't know. It was never brought up then. And I don't know if there's any kind of like hard, like just a switch one person off or on, or you can't never be attracted if you're.
No, I'm telling you because I know a lot of, including my last girlfriend, who was straight and married to a man and very pretty, very feminine, you know, but I'm just saying a lot of people's trajectory, they will say I was really in love with my husband or I had great sex and it's not that, you know, that everybody has a different story. So I find it fascinating.
It is. A friend of mine's lesbian. One of my favorite lines of hers is she says periodically, I'm done with straight women. I go, well, you seem to be duck hunting in the desert.
I'm a little on the fence about bisexual right now from my last experience. I'm like, no, you can't try it. There's paperwork. There's an oral exam. Yeah. You can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Slipped a joke in there.
Yeah, you did indeed. I got it. I even got it.
But anyway, I don't, but it's just interesting. That was your second
marriage. You know, that was my first marriage.
Oh, that was your first?
Look. Okay. Yeah. We were tripping on acid when I proposed, or I don't know if it was a proposal, so let's get married. She said, yeah. We were both kind of like, I don't know if it was like 27, she was 24, whatever. We're both like, it's just kind of time, something to do. It was something to do
something
that
to
week.
Do. Something,
something to do. You know, maybe
you're like, I'm on acid, your face seems like it's melting. I feel like I should marry you right
I saw
away.
Rainbows coming out of her eyes. You got to go for that. It's a unicorn. You got to marry that. So I don't know. We had a lot of fun. It was tough being a couple of comics because we weren't, we were both, if you want to say it, alpha dogs. We were both headliners. So, you know, there was Jeff Foxworthy said one time, I remember she was opening for me down in Atlanta Punchline, and And you know, Carol would, if she bit into an audience, man, she'd shake, shake them good, right?
Yeah.
So she ran the light, you know, the light was gone. She ran and I'm pacing in the back room going, every time she'd get another big laugh, I'd go, end it. End with that. Close with that one. Close with that one. And Jeff finally goes, hey man, she's got the light. She both go, it's my wife. I'll tell you.
I'll tell her.
My wife.
I loved your tweet. You said, divorce is how I imagine murder. Easier with repetition. The first two are shocking. The third is, leave the gun, take the cannoli.
Yeah, well, I've done that twice, so.
So wait, you had a third?
No, I had a second marriage.
Oh, a second. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, but you're looking forward to the third.
Absolutely, Stephanie. When you come straight again, I'll be there for you.
Listen, I'm teetering. I made out with Billy West this weekend. I'm not sure why. As often people have said, if you're a lesbian, you're not very good at it.
A failed lesbian?
I'm trying. Yeah, no, Carol probably makes us both feel bad because I'm like, how does that happen? You're happily married to the first woman you ever dated? Jesus Christ.
There you go. Very successful on the first try.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What, you also, speaking of women, you tweeted about Hillary's stamina. Hillary was Springsteen just getting warmed up at 90 minutes. Trump was Fat Elvis forgetting the lyrics to Are You Lonesome Tonight?
I gave that to Bill Maher. He did that on the show.
That
was a good one.
Bill Maher did the foreword.
Yeah, he did the foreword of my book.
And aren't you working on something for him?
I wrote a book called True Story.
True Story,
right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I wrote an adaptation of it, and don't know what he's going to do with it.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Hopefully turn into a movie.
Tell us about that, because you were a great writer. You were a writer on everything. Roseanne,
Roseanne was the first show I did. I talked about in a book when I was in South Carolina. I had five pilots getting turned in the series, so right. I was like back out in the road. I had a daughter, and I was like, what am I doing out here? And then I got heckled by this guy in South Carolina. He's a really good heckler. And after the show, I told the manager, that guy was great. It was fun. You know, it was a guy we really played. We both got a lot of laughs. He goes, that's Sean Penn. Sean Penn, he wants to talk to you. So I hang out with him all night. All night we hang out, 5 in the morning. And
that
I'm not drinking.
Yeah.
I'm not doing drugs. Yeah. I'm just hanging.
Yeah.
You know, we're joking. And the end of the night, I got to go, man. I got to go. I'm done. I'm burnt out. I got to go back to the hotel. He goes, hey, before you go, I want to tell you something. I go, hey, I thought he was going to say, you know, you got to be in my next movie or something. He goes, you got to move to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I live in Los Angeles for, you know, 10 years at this point. He didn't. I thought he knew who I was. He just thought I was a funny guy in South Carolina. I said, I'm not making a dent here. I came back and called everybody I knew for a writing job. Roseanne called me back, and that was it.
Yeah. She's like, Rich, I love Tao. What do you got? Send me some jobs.
I wrote for her show immediately.
Oh, my God. Last time she was on the radio show, I just can't. The voice just so went, you know, you want some macadamia? You want my nuts? I got macadamia. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
She carries them around from Hawaii?
Yes, she has a macadamia farm.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently. I don't know. She's very obsessed with her nuts.
She's got some up on the wall, I'm sure. Some pears up on the wall.
So, but wait a minute. I remember on, you played, what do you call it? Al Bundy's coworker.
Luke Ventura.
On Married with Children.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? So, Rich, what was this whole, because you were like really big in the 80s, and what was that all? I know this is the name
you had to,
Kicking Through the Ashes.
I know, because Kicking Through the Ashes, like whenever you see a fire on the news, right?
Right.
And they got the news crew there, there'll always be somebody in the family walking through the, kicking through the ashes trying to find something of value.
Right.
So that's what this book is. You know?
Right.
So I look back and look, I had my shot. I got close a couple times. I got close to the brass ring, five TV pilots that I was starring in.
I moved out here. I moved out here. I left my morning radio show in Hot 97 because I got to deal with Warner Brothers to be the, you know, Mary Tyler Moore of the 90s or whatever the fuck.
Right.
There's a thousand of those shows.
No.
And so I got out here and they were like, everyone got fired from Warner Brothers. I was like, but what about, wait a minute, but I'm going to be But you went through, I mean, as you say, like, at that point, that was happening all the time. It was like comic, like, you're the new you're the new Mary Tyler Moore. You're going to be the new Seinfeld. You're going to be the new,
You know, so you took acting lessons. I took acting lessons. Yeah. You try to go on TV and do something. So get cast in something or, you know, you're a star or something. So I hit the 87, whatever. That show came on, Married with Children came on, and I was cast. It was like, you know, you go through like all the audition process, and you get to the end where they say you go to the network. It's just three actors or actresses or whatever actors going in, and then the network and the producers together decide who gets the role.
Right.
So you've gone through a lot of auditions at that point.
Right.
So I'd gone through that with Cheers with Woody Harrelson. I was in the finals with three of us, Woody Harrelson, myself, and a guy who Timothy Treadwell, who became a guy who's a star of a documentary called Grizzly Man.
That's okay. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was the guy. A buddy of mine told me, reminded me. I didn't know that. I didn't remember. I remember it was three blonde guys.
Yeah.
A dumb guy from the Midwest was Woody Harrelson. A dumb guy from the East Coast, that was me. And a dumb guy from the West Coast, Timothy Treadwell. So Woody Harrelson got it. Brilliant choice. Great guy.
Yeah.
So I'm down to the finals for this show on a new network. Fox hadn't even started yet.
Right.
This first sitcom. And we're sitting in the hallway waiting to audition. And the producers come down the hallway. And the actor across me jumps up and goes, hugs one of the producers. Hey, buddy. And the producer's like, you're going to love L.A., man. You stay with me. You got your back. I was like, well, it's over. This guy's got the role. The other actor, the third actor, look at him. He looks like Lee Harvey Oswald after he got shot by Ruby. He's just gut shot. He's been, he's over. I just go, forget it. I'm done. I'm like leaving. They immediately grab me. Well, you're in first. So I walked in. I didn't care. I did not care. I made fun of everything. I made fun of the fact there was no network. I made fun of the show. And of course, they gave me the role. But then the producer who I beat out his buddy, he hated me. He hated the role.
Yeah.
You win, you lose. That's showbiz, baby.
I tried that. I was like, I tried out for Kathy Griffin's role and Suddenly Susan. And they were my agent's like, oh, they loved you, but you look too much like Brooke Shields. And I was like, well, if only, but okay.
That's a comedy. You'll feel better with this.
We're going more character-y.
Did you like acting? Did you enjoy it?
No, I remember my nephew was an actor and he finally said, he goes, you know, honey, anyone can do that. Like be the fourth lead on a sitcom or whatever. Like, you know, you do something. And I do. Here I am in my basement doing something very, very unique. It involves working in my basement. However,
you know, the Unabomber said the same thing about
exactly.
his job.
Hey, I'm writing my manifesto now. Why do you ask?
I work in my basement by myself. I enjoy it.
But what? So what happened? So you left comedy because there was that documentary in 2010 called I Am Comic, right? And then you retired. What did you do when you retired?
I didn't retire. There was no retirement.
Oh.
By the way, you'd have to have people actually know you left the business to retire. So I was moving. There's a long line of comics. I took a step out. Everybody behind me took a step forward. I just was writing for TV, and the more I wrote, the less I went on stage. I had kids, so I was less interested in doing stand-up. All of a sudden, I wasn't doing it anymore, and I just found myself one day not doing it. I had kids. I'm doing softball. I'm doing all the kids' stuff at school and everything, and then I'm writing on TV. So one day, I found myself not doing stand-up at all.
Right. And then, but you missed
and
then, it, and then you
oh,
came
I
back.
Missed it, man. Yeah. It was like I got depressed. I got, you know, it's funny how I started writing for Roseanne and started doing stand-up less, and like in no time at all, man, I've been seeing therapists, psychiatrists. I mean, you know. You got PTSD, you got bipolar. I said, no, I got lack of stand-up. That's what I have. I didn't know that.
I got lack of laughs.
Oh, yeah, lack of laughs.
Lack of my crack.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, no, but that would make sense because then that was your high.
That was my high. That was like, you know, when I get on stage and people are laughing, I felt like connected to people the way I couldn't be connected off stage.
Yeah.
I could never really make that connection.
Yeah.
But when they're all laughing, I felt, okay, I'm part of this. I get this.
Right.
I get it all. It was just just the feeling of the laughter. It is a drug for me, no doubt.
Wait, how many kids do you have? How old?
I have three kids.
Yeah.
26, Van's the oldest, Sierra's 21, and James is the 16-year-old.
Wow.
Oh, man, and he's like 16.
No, wait, and this is from the first, not Carol, from the second wife.
Second wife.
Okay,
second
wife. Yeah.
Wait, we got divorced 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And I stayed straight.
Oh, you mean not
drinking? Two divorces,
I'm
still straight. About that for
so no one's turned
I'm
you
dedicated.
Gay.
I'm dedicated.
You know, I bet I could be the woman.
Did you be the woman to turn me?
I don't know. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Because they've sent many women to do that. Take one for the team, Stephanie. Women are asking, get this guy out of here. Please turn him gay.
No, I
take
probably,
one for the
a lot
team.
Of my gay guy friends are like, come on. Send him on Red Rover. Send Rich on over. But what? And so, what's your relationship like with your kids? Will you live?
Great.
They live here, or
they live here?
You
know,
okay.
I've seen them. We never had any kind of you see them Friday 5 o'clock. We just loosed. The kids went back and forth. We it was great. There's not a problem like that.
Yeah. Now, when you were on the road, I assume you got a ton of pussy. I'm just guessing.
A ton and a half. Stephanie.
Really? That's what I'm saying. Rich, you're just talking to one of the guys here.
Look, you're on stage. You're on stage, okay? You're on stage.
And you're fucking hot.
You come off.
Yeah,
you get them hot. I put the energy into my act. So, if you like a guy who perspires and puts an effort up there.
I love him sweaty.
Right? Yeah. Then I'm the guy for you. So you come off, and women present themselves. I always correct them. One night we're at a club, and after everybody's hanging around, the crowd's all left, you know, and we're hanging around.
Right.
And one of the younger comics goes, hey, let's go out to women, you know, get some women at a bar. I said, you're done now, man. You're Clark Kent again. You took off your Superman when you got off the stage. If you didn't get a woman after being on stage,
that's it.
You're done.
You're done.
Now you're back being at the stand at a bar with the other knuckleheads. Exactly right. Why you got on stage to begin with. You got no game. If you had any game, you wouldn't have been a stand-up to begin with.
But see, that's the difference. I mean, you can tell me what it was like for Carol, but it's not the same for women. We get the fucking, bar scene Star Wars. That's what we
get. Well, now you get guys, but you got to be discriminate. You know, it's like when a woman says this has been my generalization, but most women, when they say, I'm really horny, they mean I'm really horny for a guy that I like and can maybe actually enjoy being with. When a guy says he's horny, he means, what do you got? What's available?
I'll stick it anywhere.
What's available?
You got a washcloth, something.
Yeah. So it's a totally different dynamic. And I get that. I get that. But yeah, it was out there. It was out there.
Because I missed that, just because I was a little geek, radio morning DJ, I knew you guys through coming on my radio shows and stuff. Right. But I thought it really is like a scene that I have heard about, but I'm going, yeah, that was what it was, right?
You came
booze,
through,
cocaine, yeah, pussy. Booze
through, right. And if you came through town, there were some women who liked the fact that you were just going through town.
Right.
Like you didn't know it. Like I remember once there was a woman, and then it's like, she goes, I get back to my husband. I go, I didn't know you were married. She goes, yeah, she was just going for a little thrill, and then she's going home. Right? I mean, there's just, you go, wow, I'm surprised. I am surprised that some guy somewhere down the line, and some messed up with, get hooked up with some married woman or whatever, and a guy shot him or something, because we didn't know. You didn't know. They could present them. So there's some women who like the fact you were just coming through town, not over here.
Yeah.
And then some guys played that game, they come in and go, they meet a gal, they just met her. Yeah, I like this place. I think I'd like to settle down here in Toledo.
Wink.
And she goes, oh, that'd be fantastic.
Oh, it's beautiful here.
You could tell guys where they would bait on stage. The guys would go, they go, I'm looking to settle down. I'd like to have some kids. And some of the women would go, he could take me out to L.A., That was just chumming the water.
I just
want to
get out of this comedy condo with the cum stains everywhere. I only did that a couple times. I was like, ew.
Cum stains, you mean?
Yeah, comedy condos.
Condos.
I did it a couple times, so I was like.
There's some great stories. I remember this one comic said he was going to the comedy condo with one of the waitresses, right? And she goes, I don't normally do this. He goes, what, go to the comic? No, with the middle. And one time,
she's a headline whore.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, headline whore.
And another guy's taking a waitress home, and he's taking her to concert. She goes, "This is great." He goes, "Yeah." She goes, "Great. This really works out well because I could pick up some laundry I left here last week. Pick up some clothes. Some clothes I left with the other comic. I can pick them up at the condo now."
That's really romantic.
Yeah, that's it. Fantastic. So it was both ways. It was everybody's using everybody.
Yes, exactly. What? So you had you sowed some oats.
Sowed some oats. I always loved that.
Fuck that means. What am I, 80?
You just try. Look, you get out there. It's like one more night you have to be alone.
You're a man whore.
Yeah. Oh, no. I can live with that label.
Yeah. But so wait. So then the first marriage to Carol was how long?
About 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the second was?
About 14.
All right. What's happening now, Rich? Is there a shot tonight? What's happening?
Well, you've set yourself up so well by making yourself a challenge.
For old time. I'm telling does not slow men down at all.
No, I'm sure it doesn't. Guys don't go for those kind of labels. It's really willing
no
is
labels.
The key word. Willing is the key word. You don't care what. You can call yourself anything you want.
I don't care. Right? Whatever, baby.
You know what I mean? It's like, right? You got your hand on my dick.
What is that?
Call yourself
what
anything
is the man
you want.
With the girl on girl? What is that about? What is that whole...
What is that about?
That whole I love to watch that. What is that about with men?
I don't know. They're just thinking that they were, he would get into the mix. I think any guy would like that.
Right.
That he would get into the mix.
You don't want to just
eventually you're thinking they're going to go.
Not like a golf announcer, but you got to get. They,
at some point, the two women would stop and go, you know what we're missing here? A dick. Has anybody got a dick? And he'd be over the side going, I got one. Fantastic. Get over here. That's what we forgot.
Because in my experience, that's most lesbians' dream come true.
Of course, that's why it's a male fantasy.
Yeah, like a fat, sweaty guy whacking off in the corner while you're making love. That's absolutely why. Honey, there's something.
You did ask me what was the male fantasy. You're right. I don't think any women going, we have sex. Can we fantasize? There's a fat, sweaty guy jerking off.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, that's my fantasy,
that's hot.
Too.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one I have. You're trying to add some degrees of difficulty to this orgasm.
Yes.
It takes me a long time, but if I could get this quick,
that'll get me there.
Guy sitting over there.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
Yeah. Close your eyes and think of that guy.
Oh, look, there's Big Pussy from The Sopranos. Oh, okay, I'm there.
Well, you picked the guy, didn't you? So what? You had to drag Big Pussy into it. So what, somewhere he's sitting going, how did I get dragged into this joke?
What'd I do? Fucking bitch.
Hey,
what'd I do?
Lesbian. Lesbo.
Fucking lesbian. What, so what is happening currently, Rich? Are you seeing anyone?
Yes, I am. I am seeing people.
Really?
I see people.
Oh, you do see?
I see live people. I see live people.
See, not just dead people.
I don't think live marriage. Girls? I don't think marriage is. You heard my
not
joke.
Not the cards again.
You saw my joke.
Yes.
Right. Three times. I'm worried about three times.
Yeah.
Once you break that three time barrier, right, then it's just a number. Then you just start going for records. Well, who's got the record in this county? Seven. All right, I'm going for eight. So I don't. I don't think I need to do that anymore. I'm okay. I. You know. I'm looking for a woman who's got full dental.
Yeah. What's the deal? Look, you still have the same hair. You have your '80s hair. What's happening?
Yeah. Well, it was
your '80s body. You're fucking hot.
I try to, you know, you have to stay in
shape. You dim the lights, Vanessa?
Drink some more wine.
I will, you know what? That girl Leaper may be more successful than I am, but you know what? I shall have what was hers.
I shall have my fill of you, woman.
Anyway, what was I saying?
Yes, what were you saying?
What was I saying? So, right, but tell me about your, so, your dad, you were, you
yeah,
talked
dad,
about a little
yeah,
bit on your,
yeah,
on, with Mark Maron.
Yeah.
We had a rough,
yeah. My dad was
the
a drinker,
drinker
and, he,
yeah,
and he was a hands-on guy. When he drank, he got violent, and we had fist fights growing up.
Wow.
I shot at him with a gun.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Did
yeah,
you miss?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were hunting, and I took my opportunity, but I did miss, but not by lack of effort. And it was a tough relationship.
You were just a bad shot.
Yeah, bad shot.
Too bad.
I didn't really aim that well.
Sorry
it was just,
about that.
It was a tricky thing. But, you know, it was, but we got to get along great now. But, you know, it was a long time before, you know, I said in the book, there's that moment where, when he finally said I was good at stand-up comedy.
Oh,
I mean,
my
dad was a funny guy.
Wow.
And, you know, somebody once said, if you want to do something, that you enjoy doing, find out what one of your parents does, but doesn't do well and do that for a living.
Wow.
And it's almost like what I picked, because my dad was a funny guy, but he's amateur
wow,
class.
This is very like Oedipal, George W. Bush complex, but okay.
But I didn't invade a foreign country.
You didn't,
and
right,
cost
you didn't invade
hundreds
a country
of thousands of lives.
Okay.
Lives.
Right.
I just took a career in comedy.
Just
like one less
just
lawyer.
Fuck with your dad.
Yeah, one less lawyer and one more comic is really not equivalent to what George W. did with his
it's really an improvement
problems
for the world.
Yeah,
yeah you're
think,
correct.
I would think if
I'm
he
sorry
did that, everybody would be a lot
I'm
happier.
I'm sorry, Rich Henry.
You equated me
abused
with,
you being
you equated
a
me with George
I'm
W.
So
Bush.
I'm so sorry. I just, I've had a little Chardonnay and I called you Hitler and I apologize. I apologize. I still think we can turn this around.
Yeah, all of a sudden I went from a comedian to a genocidal maniac. How'd that happen?
What the fuck do you think about this election cycle? We talked a little bit before
yeah
the thing. I just, even as comedians, right?
Yeah.
We
yeah
could not have written this.
No.
Donald Trump.
No, but you know, I hope, and I really hope that Hillary learns a lesson, not just from the Bernie Sanders supporters, because there was a revolution on both sides.
Right.
But also hope she learns from the Trump people, because I know there's a lot of flat earthers, a lot of bigots and racists in the Trump supporters, but there's also a lot of decent, hardworking people who are just desperate because they feel betrayed
yeah
by both parties, Republicans, Democrats.
Yeah.
And so they're desperate. And when you're desperate, you're susceptible to a con man like Trump.
Yeah.
So when if you're drowning and a dorsal fin goes by, you grab it. You don't check to see if it's a shark or porpoise. You just grab it because you're drowning. And I think that's a fact. That
it's like, oh, it's Jaws. It's a white supremacist shark. But that's
yeah
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's it. Look, you know, Churchill said Americans eventually do the right thing after they tried everything else. I think he'd be drinking whiskey out of a bottle if you saw what was going on right now.
Yeah.
We're trying to cure a headache with a gunshot to the head. But you know, I think we'll eventually flush that
I
guy down his gold plated
toilet. I went with my girlfriend on a bike trip to Death Valley. Don't ask me why.
You
where
did
the
what?
Relationship was starting to die anyway. But anyway, but I remember she was sick, and they literally in this little town they had no other medicine except for whiskey. I was like, really?
Were you in a Western?
Sudafed something like what? Snake bite. Here it is. Whiskey. What does she have? Emphysema. Whiskey.
Bite?
I was like, is that all you have?
Whiskey or bite down on the stick. Those are your two choices. Those Western shows,
they don't call it
the stick.
They don't call it Death Valley for nothing.
Wow.
What do you got? Well,
wow,
unless whiskey
so,
cures it.
Let me ask you a question,
because
I'm always interested in relationships. So the relationship was going south, and you tried to salvage it by
a bicycle
ride
to Death Valley.
On a Death
bike
Valley.
Why? Is that weird?
Some people might take a nice weekend in Santa Barbara to a hotel or something, but not a death march across the desert.
Yeah, well.
Let's see if we could just forge this thing in steel. Or One of us dies.
She didn't.
Did you come back alone? Was that the whole point? Is she here too?
Yeah, she's okay.
Okay.
No, she just didn't want to be out. It's hard. It's poison. I think whatever you are, whatever the label is, it's very poisonous not to be honest in your life. And she didn't want to be out. You know, and then she moved 3,000 miles away. And yeah, I mean, it's just, it's, you know, listen, the biggest factor is, me. But no, you know what I'm saying? But I think whatever the label is or whatever, I think it not being honest in your life is the most poisonous thing for anybody.
Absolutely.
So hiding and lying and all
especially
that stuff.
Especially who you are, right?
Yeah. And because I was already out publicly. I was a, you know, out gay woman, and to have to pretend that I was single when I was, you know, in love and hoping to get married and whatever this is, it's a horrible thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't come out. She wouldn't come out.
No.
And it's 2016, which is not.
Yeah, 2016.
Wild, right?
Exactly. Wow. Yeah. But I mean, you know, that's only, you know, it is, as it's always like one of the factors, I'm sure, your marriage is. It's not one thing. It's, you know.
Yeah, it's one of the factors, but that would be a big one.
And probably the biggest factor that we're big comedian assholes. But
right.
My point is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know anymore. You know, like what I think relationships are, because I know you've done a lot of your material on relationships.
Yes, I have.
And I'm still, you know, the funny thing, my parents were married for 40 years till my dad died. I so believe in that. I so want it. I so thought that's where I was headed last year. And I know. And now I'm like, I don't fucking know anymore.
I dropped all the pretense of it. First of all, I'm 63. So the hormone levels are dropping,
right.
Which is great.
Right.
Which is great because you get to that point. Like, you know, when you're young, you're driven like salmon up a stream. You go after each other. You can't help yourself, right?
Right.
And I'm at the age now where math is more of the factor in the love. Love is just a math equation. And I'm sitting there going, let's see. She lives 30 miles away. Gas is $2.90
a
gallon.
How old is she?
I don't think this was going to work out. I look for a neighborhood kind of gal.
You hopeless romance.
Yeah.
Does she live that far past the Piggly Wiggly?
No. I'm really seriously, you know.
Then that's not going
to. I know these guys that go, what? You know, these dating sites, which I've never done any of the online, but they have like how the distance, you know, the distance you want to go. Like, I'm willing to go 150 miles. If I had it, it'd be like half a mile. Is there a half a mile click? I'm looking half a mile. That's how convenient it would be.
I remember once
I met this girl on dating, and it's like she lived in Santa Monica. I lived in Van Nuys. I was like,
no.
I don't think this is going to happen.
No, no way.
The traffic in L.A. at 405. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did the story about that mountain lion that crossed the 5 to mate. I'm like, who the fuck crosses the 5 to mate? A 5?
That's a good one.
Too much.
That's a good one. Yeah.
No, I know what you mean. L.A. is hard. And my schedule's hard. And So, no, you think, like, I was thinking, I'll be patient. She'll come out. We'll figure out the geography, you know.
Was she your age? Yeah, see, I'd have to go. You know, age appropriate. I won't date a woman under 50. I'll fuck them.
Right.
But I won't date them.
Okay.
See that? See how I did that? See that?
That's so romantic,
slipped Rich. Slipped that right in on you.
You didn't even tell me I was pretty.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, because there's a, you know, I don't want to explain anything. I'm lazy. I don't explain, like, the Kennedy assassination.
Right.
I don't
wanna... Oh, no, I dated someone 17 years younger, and it was.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. You don't get the references. Yeah. Jokes.
Godfather movie comes on. They go, I've never seen this before. You go, oh, no.
She
no,
hated Spinal Tap. I'm like, no.
There are deal breakers.
Out.
There are deal breakers. That's it. That would be one. I hate that. Like that. Yeah. Remember when the movie first came out? She'd be like, well, it was a good movie, but. It could have been about a better band. If it had been about a better band.
Right. Yes. I can't remember. There was a couple of particular moments. You're right. There's those moments. You're like,
I think a lot of it, you know, is just vampirism. You know, when you're trying to suck the energy
suck
from
young
a young
blood.
Person.
Right, of course. Blood. Yes, we've all done that.
You know, you think it's like a mirror thing, like the mirror on the wall. You look and you go, well, I'm looking at a 30-year-old. I must be 32. No, you're Nosferatu. You're Nosferatu bent over a young girl. That's what you are. She's 30, but you're not 30.
Right. I can't remember the joke I told. I can't remember. We all remember our jokes that, you know, went. Mm. I do remember once I was like, oh, my God, honey, cheer up. It's like a Jean-Paul Sartre novel. And ironically, I got nothingness. I got just. She was like, Jean-Paul Sartre?
Is that two of the Beatles? That would be two of the Beatles? Who's a Sartre? I didn't know there was a Sartre of the Beatles.
That is.
I remember that one.
I can't remember. I have another. There was another one. It's escaping me now. But anyway, you believe in it to a certain degree geographically.
Nah, you know, it's just, I'm all about convenience and I'm all about
yeah,
comfort
and all about that bass.
Yeah, yeah.
No trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I travel a lot, still travel a lot, still working, doing stand-up, so.
Oh, you are good.
Yeah, but it's mostly cruise ships now.
Right.
So, right. Country clubs, all age-appropriate stuff.
Right.
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 Yeah, exactly.
Aren't you always afraid that either you or someone else is going to get killed on a cruise ship, thrown overboard? Doesn't always weird shit, or like the toilets back up?
What do you mean, like walk the plank kind of stuff?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Seems like weird shit happens.
Yeah, yeah. I stay off the ships that happen on. I try to go on better lines. There's always like one ship that always happens on one line, right? So I try to stay away from there. But I like it. It's good work. You travel.
Yeah.
It's,
good
I
money.
Get a chance to write. I wrote the book when I was on cruise ships.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote that book mostly on cruise ships.
What a great, because our after party food is here. What a great segue. Kicking Through the Ashes by Rich Scheidner. Pick it up. It is fantastic.
Thank you.
Forward by Bill Maher. I read a good portion of it.
I got nice blurbs on the back too, baby.
I read them.
Chris
read
Rock.
Them.
And I know. It's nice. Nice. I got
oh my
it
God.
All.
That was one of my nightmares. I remember when I was trying to get back into stand up in New York, I was like about to go up at Stand Up New York. Yeah. I was like, oh, really nervous, whatever. And they're like, okay, you're on. And I was like this. They're like, oh, Chris Rock is here.
Oh, wow.
And Chris Rock went up and did like an hour. They're like, all right, now you're on. I was like, oh. Thank you. And that went about as how you could expect it went.
Everybody has to go through those things. I had to follow those guys, you know, when I was just starting out.
Yeah.
You know, Robin Williams might come into a club back in 79 in New York City. And
yeah.
Just destroy the place.
Right.
Somebody has to go up after that.
Yeah, you're like, okay, you can go pick up the whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, just literally, they're just there. And you just go, that's when you go, so where are you from? You can't. You just got to find something else to do.
You can't. Yeah. But you were and you are fantastic, and I'm so excited to see you again. Rich Scheidner, Kicking Through the Ashes. Pick it up. It's a fantastic book. My life is a stand-up in the 1980s comedy boom, and it's fascinating. And thanks so much, honey.
It's so
and
great
I have
to see
some,
you,
I have some, I have some hope for the after party. I do.
Now I've got some.
Let's see what happens.
Keep hope alive.
Love you, Rich Scheidner.
Love you,
Rich Scheidner.